Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. We all know that what drives business is its customers. A business cannot survive without a good customer base. But the business cannot always rely on its existing customers. It must always strive to bring new customers. Ask business owners what they'd most like in the world, and they'll probably tell you more customers. What often comes after a customer on a business wish list? More traffic to their website. A good business website is like having an extra employee, one who works 24/7 and can be the face of your company, give information, answer queries, and even make sales. But what good does that do if you're not getting visitors to your site? Website traffic is both an important indicator and driver of business growth. It can help you to see how well your marketing is working, gather insight about your audience to make decisions, improve your SEO and search engine credibility, generate more leads, increase conversions, and get more customers. There were 1.24 billion websites in the world. That's a lot of competition. But keep in mind, that's not what you're trying to attract all internet users. Your goal is to get more people in your target audience to visit your site. Here are some more statistics taken from the website hostingfacts.com, which started an internet statistic list in 2016. 1. 56 cents of every dollar spent is on offline stores is influenced by a digital interaction. 2. Only 22% of businesses are satisfied with their conversion rates. 3. Men spend 28% more money online than women. 4. People spend an average of 5 hours per week shopping online. 5. 95% of Americans shop online at least yearly. And 6. An average of $488 is spent annually shopping online in different marketplaces. 7. The best day to send an email is on a Wednesday, and the worst day to send an email is on a Thursday. 8. 8 out of 10 consumers will shop online if offered free shipping. And 9. Personalized recommendations can increase conversion rates by up to 5.5 times. Taking all those facts into consideration, it is only natural that the small business owner would want to have a website that will attract and convert potential customers into new customers. With me today to discuss website design techniques that will help the small business owner do just that is Maureen Rachowski, owner of Yes You Can Marketing. Thank you for taking the time to be here, Maureen.
It's my pleasure to be here with you, Mike.
All right. Before we get to the questions regarding what techniques to use for a business website, please explain to the listeners the purpose of a website and why it is so important for a small business to have a website.
Well, there are several reasons why it is important, but primarily, you need to think of it as the tool of introduction. This website is introducing your business to a new potential customer, and that's whether they found you by searching online or even if somebody referred them. It's also a representation of your business 24/7. You know, people shop online at all hours, as Mike was just saying. It's also a tool of communication. Think about this. What is it that your customer should know? And what does your customer want to know? Both of those types of information should be on that website so that you can target that customer, engage with the consumer, and ultimately convert the visitors on the website to become customers. Mm-hmm. So you want it to look good, function well, so you can build rapport.
In your seminar on website design techniques, which is where I got her from, folks, because I went to the seminar. And it was such a good one, I felt she should be here to explain to you a little bit more about design techniques. So in your seminar, you used an example of two websites, one for Plumber Smith and one for Plumber Jones. Could you please kind of take the listeners through what that example is?
Yes, and it's a great example because it really strikes a chord, hits home with people as to the importance of a website. So in this example, the way typical word of mouth business gets transferred, Joe was out with some coworkers after work having a beer, and he mentions that he's doing a bathroom remodel in the near future, but he doesn't know a plumber. And he asks his buddies, does anybody know a plumber? He gets recommendations from his friends that night. One says call Plumber Smith, and another one says call Plumber Jones. So what's going to happen is that night, the next day, when he gets to it, Joe is going to pull up both of those businesses online. And when he does that, he's going to start making some quick decisions. So in our example that we're talking about, let's say that Plumber Smith has a pretty boring website. Maybe it's just contact information, like a business card, and it's not really doing much. Yet, Plumber Jones has a very robust website with lots of good information, including information about bathroom remodels. Who do you think Joe's going to call first? Pretty much, we can all agree he's going to call Plumber Jones first. Now, there's two takeaways here. The first, Plumber Jones did a great job and he won that business. So good job to Plumber Jones. But the other takeaway that isn't so evident is that Plumber Smith had a word of mouth recommendation. He had the opportunity, the same opportunity that Plumber Jones had, and he lost it. And he doesn't know he lost it. And he lost it because of his website. So never underestimate the power of your website in helping get that phone to ring.
Absolutely. All right. All right. A statement you made at that seminar that I was at was that all marketing is supported by the website. Can you kind of explain what you mean by that?
For sure, Mike. It's the cornerstone of all the marketing that you do. Most businesses don't just have a website. They do other types of marketing. And those other types of marketing could actually lead the consumer to get to the website. Why do we always put our web address on, no matter what the form of marketing is nowadays? Because the website allows consumers to do research. If you do a good job, you're going to convert, hoping they call you once they visit the website, into an actual call in. The website is the inbound marketing tool. Whether you're doing postcard mailings or social media, billboards, you know, placemats, whatever the other thing, understand you're putting your web address so the consumer can go there and learn more about you. Now, they've gotten there. You now know you have somebody that has a need. The website also allows for engagement through great content. It's a place for tuning in, building further awareness, interest, and trust. So you want to do a good job. If you think back about our plumber example, Joe was not ready to make a purchase then. So you want to have the opportunity on your website to nurture consumers and ultimately convert them into customers.
I see. People first judge by what they see. You know, it's first impressions. You know, first impressions always make the lasting impressions. And that holds true for a website as well. So what should the business owner's website look like to make a good first impression?
It is true. People do judge the professionalism of a business based on that website, just like they do, whether they admit it or not, in person. There's always judgments being made. So again, we can only imagine what they would think of a company that they looked up because they got referred to them that did not have a website. So never think you don't need a website. It's also the place where you make that first impression through a virtual handshake. It's an opportunity for you and your business to look great and be great. Explain what you're all about, what's unique, why they should call you, how are they going to benefit if they do call you, and what value are you providing?
And we know now that the internet has become the place to go when someone wants to find a product or a service. Do you have any statistics that show exactly how pervasive this internet is when someone searches for a product or a service?
Well, there are several statistics, but I'm going to talk about one that stands out. And that is that 50 to 90% of a buyer's journey is completed before that buyer actually reaches out and contacts sales. So you need to be aware of this. When that call comes in, if they've already visited your website and you've done a great job, you don't need to start at the beginning of the sales process, only to clarify. So don't do that unless it's actually necessary. If they're on that website and you've done a good job, they may be quite close to being ready to sign up or start service with you.
All right. Well, how about data on how potential customers find small business and how they research a small business that they're interested in using.
I have two statistics here or information from Vistaprint, who works significantly with small business owners. The first is the primary way in which U.S. internet users discover small business. This is the first time where online research actually comes out stronger than word of mouth. Now, I've always said there's nothing better than a word of mouth recommendation.
Well, but everybody said that. The best thing is word of mouth.
But now online research is nudging ahead of that. So keep it in mind. Social media is on this result here as well at 13%. So, folks, you should be doing social media. But make sure that website is in good order because the social media will drive them to the website. Mm-hmm. The other statistic we have here is the frequency with which U.S. internet users research a small business digitally prior to visiting. And in the categories always, often, and sometimes, you're at about 93%, leaving just 7% that only, or I should say, that never go to the web to search. So that's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. I think we've covered the reasons why it's very important for a small business to have a website. Let's get to the design techniques that will help enhance the potential customer experience. First, let's talk about getting around on the website. In other words, finding what you're searching for. What can you tell the listeners to help in that area?
Okay, we'll go through a list of items, but this one is a very good place to start, which is simple navigation. What you want to do is think like your customer and break out services in a way that makes sense for them. So yes, be sensible. Let's use the example of an attorney, maybe a law firm, and they have several practice areas. Well, instead of having one page where the consumer has to scroll and scroll and scroll down to get to the area of practice of interest to them, why not have a button called Practice Areas up on that top navigation that has a separate page under it for each specific area of law? And that way, the consumer can click and get right to the information of importance.
Mm-hmm. What about business contact information? On almost every website that I have visited, it's always a separate page. But sometimes in order to get to that page, I had to be on a particular page. That doesn't seem to me to be user-friendly. What do you suggest?
Right. It sounds like common sense that you don't want to frustrate your consumer or your visitor on your website. So don't make them search for your contact information. When we get to the website, frequently we see a phone number big and bold. And you want to keep it there on every single page because maybe when they get to that homepage, they're not ready to call you and they're going to poke through on a few more pages before they become ready. So either keep it consistent in the header, the sidebar, the footer, or in multiple locations. Don't make them search for your contact information. And it's really sad sometimes that you see it so prevalent that people don't follow this simple rule, but don't frustrate your customer.
No. In all of the seminars I've attended and in articles I've read about websites, the one thing that they all seem to emphasize is what they call a call to action. Can you explain to the listeners exactly what is a call to action and why the business owner wants to use that on their website?
Sure. What a call to action is, it's a statement or an exclamation. It's meant to urge the visitor on the website to take some type of action. So you want to have these in multiple locations on your website, possibly in the header, that sidebar, the footer again, some other examples, or some examples, get it now, sign up today. And definitely, if your website has a lot of content and somebody's reading through that content, you want a nice call to action right at the end of the content, because that's the moment where they're making a decision to say, I'm ready to get started now. So make sure one is at the end of your content.
But one thing I've always heard about any piece of marketing material, and a website is a piece of marketing material, is that content is king. Exactly what should the business owner be putting on their website?
It is true. Content is king. And content, of course, includes written words and quality information. Could also come in the form of video. Content can come in the form of imagery or galleries. A quality piece, a page of content should be 500 words so that the consumer can really get embrace what you're talking about. It's an opportunity to share and communicate. Again, that opportunity to engage with the consumer. Maybe not everybody wants to read so much, but guess what? There's a lot of people that do. So you want to make sure you have that information on there for them. Think about a symbolic ring that we're familiar with. When somebody gets engaged, they have an engagement ring. It's a little bit different in business, but at the end of the day, it's really quite similar. There's a commitment, level of satisfaction that you're agreeing to, a promise or a guarantee, an agreement setting the expectations of this relationship.
Mm-hmm. In order to create the proper content, there has to be some sort of research. I mean, you can't really do any sort of grading of content without some kind of research. What do you suggest a business owner do in the way of research?
From that marketing perspective, the best thing that a business owner can do is to really define who their ideal customers are. Because mm-hmm. once they make that decision, they can then become very targeted in all their efforts. So I'm going to spend a little time explaining this by creating a profile of your best customers. You can do that through creating what is called an avatar of characteristics of your best customers. And you do this based on your actual customer base, past customer base, or your proposed customer base if you're brand new into business. And there's many ways to do this. The first thing is you could ask a lot of questions of your customer base. You can use surveys. You could observe their behavior while they're in your shop. Or you could observe their behavior and pay attention to what they're doing when they're on your website. What pages are working? What pages are not? Once you have that list of your best customers, you want to list out all the common traits of them. This could be based on demographics such as marital status, age, income, their level of knowledge. You don't want to use industry jargon if the visitor doesn't know industry jargon. You don't want to confuse them. Roll all these commonalities into one profile and then give them an identity. Make them as close to a live person as possible. Give them a name, an address, an occupation, and a family. Now, everyone should do this as a business owner, but frequently we hear that people think it's, you know, prohibitive mm-hmm. and they feel that it's going to lose customers for them. And this, they would throw out what I call the general net. My business is good for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Really successful businesses tune into targeting their client base because it improves contact rates and ultimately sales. Better clients actually value your time and your service and products more. It's an exclusive tool as well. That's something, a question that often comes up. And when you create this avatar or profile, even if you have the same type of business as somebody else, your demographics or your target may be different. So it is an exclusive tool for each and every business. And it doesn't mean you can't sell to others.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. If you matched somebody 100%, or 90, or 80, or 70, that's still wonderful. What you're doing is pushing away the people that are 10%, 20%, that really are not a match to your business. Let them go somewhere else. Let the better ones come to you. So bringing this person to all your marketing conversation will make sure that your marketing aligns with your best customers.
In doing all that, you've got to create some sort of message from the business owner, and you're sending this to your customer or your potential customers. So how would you go about kind of creating that kind of message?
Sure. The purpose of creating that profile we just spoke about is so that you can create better quality marketing messages so that when those prospective customers get on your website, it's like you've read their mind, you've identified their pain points. Let's say, Mike, you have a business and you've identified a man as your profile person that is between the age of 35 and 43 years old. Because you made this profile, you can really start tuning into what goes on in his life. What's his family life like? Where does he go for entertainment or fitness? Now you could actually think where you should do your other forms of marketing because you know a lot more about your best customer. What does he worry about? What are his interests, his economic status? Now it's so much easier to write those correct messages because you have a being in front of you. And you're speaking to them, and when they read your messages, they feel like you understand them, you know them, and that you understand their concerns, and you can help them. Remember, this is a ripple effect, and you're converting, hoping people will call you into much better return on calls coming in.
What we talked about earlier about the business contact information, what about building up that customer base? Should there be some sort of contact form so that the business owner can build a database of his customers and potential customers, and what should be on the form?
For sure. Every website should have a contact form and it should be visible. This allows for an alternate way for visitors or consumers to contact you. And trust me, people fill in contact forms morning, noon, and night. They might be at work and fill out a contact form, or they might be sitting on their couch at 11 p.m. and doing research. So you can certainly have that contact form, tie it in with one of those call to actions that we talked about earlier, maybe schedule a free consultation. Make sure on this contact form, when they fill it in and hit the submit button, make sure to impress them with a return message that says, thank you, we've gotten your message, we'll be back in touch with you promptly. And I bring this up because this is an area where a lot of business is lost. People build a good website, they build the contact forms, and they don't think about who's going to be in charge of responding. Make sure you set a system in place so that you know when that form comes in through text message or email, so you can respond promptly. Otherwise, they're going to go elsewhere and find another business.
If they don't hear back from you, they're going to say, well, that went nowhere.
And with small business owners, they are busy and they're on the road. Right. So that's why that thinking it through and setting that system in place is so important.
I've heard that a website should be mobile friendly. What is that and why is it so important?
Nowadays, most websites are built in what's called a responsive design. And what that means is that the site is full size when it's on a desktop, and then it automatically scales smaller to a tablet size and even smaller yet to go to the handheld mobile phones and other devices. What's nice about that when it's responsive is you don't lose the experience of the website. You could still read everything. A website that's not mobile, you'll quickly notice because you actually have to pinch the screen in order for it to be able to read it. So that's really outdated. So if you come across that website should definitely be updated.
I've come across a few.
But there's also something now called AMP or accelerated mobile pages. And Google is starting to integrate AMP into their search results. And the reason they're doing that is because such a significant amount of searches are done online now on mobile devices, and AMP helps cut the loading time for the web pages. So very important to test your website on a mobile device.
Okay. Every day, people are bombarded with emails. When I started using the internet and I set up my various email accounts, I got 10 emails a day. Today, I receive anywhere between 75 and 100 emails a day, and most of them are from businesses from whom I purchase something. I know they're trying to market something else to me, but mainly I find it an irritant, and I delete them without even reading them. So how can the small business person develop an email marketing campaign and have it be successful?
Well, we all feel that way sometimes. I know I have multiple email addresses, and I do get hit with a couple hundred emails a day. And that's why most emails, if they're doing it correctly, have an unsubscribe button. If you truly never want to hear from them, you always have the opportunity to unsubscribe.
Yeah.
And you're chuckling. And the reason you don't hit delete is because you know that maybe one day in the future, you want to go back there and get that promotion or get another product. So that's why we don't hit the delete or the unsubscribe.
Well, I don't know about it. I have done unsubscribe. I remember going through, it must have been 25 emails and hit unsubscribe in every one. And of course, they make it very difficult for you to unsubscribe. Because it says, if you want to unsubscribe,
you have to confirm.
You confirm this, do this, do that. And you hit four or five times trying to get you frustrated so you won't. But then when I hit finally says, okay, yes, we have received your unsubscribe, in about 10 or 12 days, you'll be unsubscribed.
Well, the thing is with the email marketing, we need to, well, as small business owners, embrace it. It's not going away. Gmail has 1 billion active users. An email for business owners, it is low cost, sometimes even free, depending on the tools that you use. So you can add signups on your website. The question was the positive, Mike. How to get customers to sign up.
The business owner would know that it can be an irritant, too. So you want to be able to make sure that
you're doing it correctly.
Right way.
You're right. So you want to add those signups to your website with quality information and to your social media posts so you can start building your email marketing strategy. You know, allowing them to sign up for promotions or tips or FAQs. And use an email program provider that keeps you compliant so that the consumer always has that option to unsubscribe. You want to make sure you follow the letter of the law on that. And using tools like Constant Contact or MailChimp will take care of that for you and allow that unsubscribe on all your emails that you send.
Okay. Well, one thing I've heard a lot lately is making sure that when a person is searching the internet for a product or service, that the business owner wants his information to pop up within the first five items on the first page. How would the business owner accomplish that, and why is it so important to be within the first five?
Well, in the world of the web, position is vital. It's important because consumers are very quick to make decisions. So they usually scroll down over ads on the search engine result page, through the map, and then look at the organic. And that's what search engine optimization is all about, helping your website get found in the organic section in the top positions. But a lot goes into search engine optimization, and it certainly is a confusing area of internet marketing for so many. Frequently, websites are sold to business owners saying, hey, your website is SEO friendly, and the business owner might think, that's it. That's all they need. But no, SEO is really a lot of work. But with doing that work, your business can get found online when people are searching in non-branded ways for what you offer. So with SEO or search engine optimization, there's a lot of research, strategy, goal setting, implementation, and reporting. And it needs to be ongoing to really make an impact and to help you improve your reach beyond your immediate location. So what I'm saying here is, for SEO, you can certainly do some research and you can accomplish, some of the steps of optimization yourself, like claiming your local listing and adding title tags onto your website. But if you want to reach beyond your immediate town, you probably would want to seek out professional help because it is a highly skilled and involved area of internet marketing, but certainly one that is well worth it. If you think about it, the search engines, Google and the others, they want to be a resource. They want to give the best answers as somebody is typing in a string of keywords that they're searching for, and they actually pre-populate some information. It's our job as SEO analysts to help the search engines recognize the business so that they do show up in that organic section. It helps when you get found in that organic section, it gives your business a shot at getting in front of that non-branded searcher. And it really is the aha moment of all internet marketing is when your phone is ringing because you have been found online.
There are a lot of tools and applications that a business owner should be using to help the business. As with everything else, it all comes at a cost. Are there any free tools and or applications that the business owner might use?
Yes, I'm a big proponent of sharing tools and tips that are helpful to the small business audience. And there's a few that I'll go over here. There's something called HelloSign. And HelloSign allows you, if you have the need to, get signatures from somebody and they're far away, you actually can send, I think it's up to 3 free sends through HelloSign where you could fill in the blanks for the person on the other end where they have to fill in information and ultimately sign. So you have a digital record of their signature. Mm-hmm. And that's great. There's lots of different types of digital signature services out there. But why not, if you don't need it all the time, consider something like HelloSign. It's free of charge. Another resource that is so valuable is the library. And I'm talking about the databases that are available online through the actual county libraries. If you go on any of them, they have a button called Research and Databases. And in there is a treasure trove of things. You can look up your targeted audience. Now that you've determined your target audience, they have something called Info USA. So let's say you're targeting your business targets fitness centers. You could go on Info USA and find all the businesses that fall into the service industry category of fitness and do a mailing to them. This would, if you were doing this on your own, be a paid service. So it's free of charge through the library. The library pays the bill for that. And all you need is to have a library card. Now, we have a nice list of other free tools. Feel free to have anybody that's interested contact you via the email address that you give at the end, or they could email me directly.
Thank you, Maureen, for your time and your information. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to pass along?
Yes, just a few to wrap up. I didn't mention earlier testimonials. They are so important. Recommendations can be provided on your Google listing. They could be provided on your website. They make a difference. You know, just the other day, somebody found my business searching online and they enjoyed the website. But what really made the difference was they knew somebody that had left a review. That caused them to pick up the phone and call. So never underestimate what reviews can do. The other thing is that, yes, your business, your website is a living, breathing representation of your business, just like you mentioned an employee at the start of the conversation here, and you wouldn't hire somebody and then never check back in with them. Of course, you're going to give them more responsibilities. Think of your website that way. It could be a powerhouse and a workhorse. So use some of the tips we've shared here and you'll look better online. You'll connect better with your ideal customers. And the ending comment I guess I have is, yes, you can. As a small business owner, attract new customers and increase your sales by building up your website.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you for all that information that you passed along to the listeners. And listeners, good website design doesn't just appear out of nowhere. There are many aspects of design that come together to achieve this. Like the phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, the effective website design is judged by the users of the website and not the website owner. There are many factors that affect the usability of a website, and it is not just about form, that's how good it looks, or also about function, how easy it is to use. Maureen has given you some of the techniques you can use to help your business attract new customers. Perhaps you're planning a website and you're looking to get a design right from the ground up. Either way, these effective web design techniques you have just heard about can help your website be more engaging, useful, and memorable for visitors.
If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past Gore Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on Score Business Points, or you have a comment about this show, or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert,
like my guest, Maureen Rochalski,
and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast Chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on local workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register.
That's all the time we have for today. I'd like to again thank my guest, Maureen Rochalski, for being here today. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at WBNJ.org. Score Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast chapter of Score and 91.9 WBNJ.